Of scripture, the Bible records, if you would please stand, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I want you to underline that. He leadeth me, underline leadeth, in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You may be seated. The first thing that I want you to understand this morning is that God is a restorer.
Amen.
He's still in the business of restoring souls. And so it doesn't matter where you are in life today. You can be sitting in this congregation. You can be listening to this by audio. God is willing to restore your soul back into right standing with him.
Amen.
Don't let the devil lie to you, church, and make you believe that the condition you're in and the state you're in, that God is not able to deliver you. I don't care if you're committing fornication. I don't care if you're wrapped up in adultery. I don't care if you've got tangled up in homosexuality. If you become an alcoholic or you're using drugs or things that are damaging your temple, it does not matter what state that you're in. God is able to restore you wherever you are. His power is available to them that believe. Now, I want you to understand this morning that there are three spiritual paths that believers should be walking down. These paths that I'm going to share with you this morning are in succession, which means that you cannot walk down one until you've walked the one prior.
Amen.
Notice in verse number 3, the Bible teaches us that he leadeth me, First Lady. We are led by God down these paths. Righteousness. And so it's clear that the way the text is worded, that we have an S on the end of righteousness, that there's more than one path.
Amen.
And so I'm going to share the three paths of righteousness. And by the time I'm finished, I trust that you'll be able to tell which path that you're on. The first path is acknowledgement. I want you to write that down in your notes. You cannot progress in the things of God, nor travel down the other paths of righteousness until you acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Everybody clear on that?
Yes.
Now I want you to understand, if you're taking notes, that acknowledgement comes in two forms. The first form of acknowledgement is to own or admit as true.
Amen.
The second form of acknowledgement is to own obligation and claim personal responsibility.
Amen.
So let me give you an example. I'm walking in the mall, and I've got First Lady by my side, and another young lady sees me, and she says, "Are you married?" And I say, "Yes." That's acknowledgement.
That's right.
I've acknowledged the fact that I'm married.
Amen.
You follow me? Now, to own responsibility would say that she is my wife.
Amen.
Am I doing all right?
Amen.
Because I could just say that I'm married and not own up to the responsibility that I'm in a covenant relationship with a young woman named Carita Austin.
Amen.
You get a lot of players that do that when they're doing, you know, when they're doing things they got no business doing, and they ask, "Are you married?" And they say, "Yeah." But they don't acknowledge the one that they're married to.
Come on.
And so acknowledgement comes in two forms. First of all is admitting that it's true. Second is to claim personal responsibility. And so you must acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. St. John 14:6 says that I am the way, the truth, and the light, and that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we understand, beloved, that in the body of Christ, that many people in fact do acknowledge Jesus as Lord, as the Son of God, as the first part of acknowledgement, but they do not make a commitment to have him as Lord over their lives. And so they say things like, you go to church. Yeah, I go to church. But acknowledgement that I have Jesus over my life says that I'm a Christian and I'm walking according to what is known as the whole counsel of God.
Amen.
When you practice a lifestyle of Christianity and it's evident to others, it shows that you are working both parts of the acknowledgement concept. You're not just going to church with your name on the roll. Your life is a daily representation of the scriptures, and it's evident to others.
Amen.
Let's go to Proverbs 3:6, right where First Lady was this morning. The Bible says that in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God cannot direct you down the other paths of righteousness until you acknowledge him first.
Amen.
Once you do this, the same thing she was saying, it gives him liberty to direct your paths.
Amen.
And this is, I'm bringing this out now, First Lady, this is where many people are missing it in the body of Christ and in this church at large. It's a fact that you've acknowledged God, but you really do not have him at the forefront of your life. Therefore, when it comes to making major decisions that will affect your destiny, you often don't consult God. And the only way that you can have God's best and have him at the forefront is acknowledging him in all your ways and having him to direct thy paths. Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
Now let's look at Matthew 7:13. And I'm going to try to explain what I mean by this. Matthew 7:13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And there are many there be which go in thereat. So we understand from the scripture, church, that there is a way in life that seems right. But the end of that way often leads to destruction. Why? Because you have not acknowledged God and asked him to direct your paths. When you look at marriage, one of the most critical decisions that you can make in your life to connect with a destiny partner.
Amen.
Somebody that you want to spend the rest of your life with, but you have not even acknowledged God and asked if this is the right person for me.
That's right.
Do y'all follow what I'm saying?
Amen.
What church to attend and to unite with? What to do with our finances, how to approach and handle life's problems, situations, and circumstances. Church, God does not need you.
Come on.
But we need God.
Amen.
And if you're going to walk down the path of acknowledgement, you got to acknowledge that you can't make it on your own and operate independently without God.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And we're preaching to a church, not directed at any of this congregation, but people that are hearing this by audio, that are living their lives independently without God.
Amen.
And it seems right to you because it sounds good and it feels good to your flesh, but everything that looked good ain't good.
That's right. Amen.
That's why you got to acknowledge God in all things, church. And you got to walk down the path of righteousness. I believe I got the right message.
Amen.
This morning. Number two, the second path is obedience. Everybody wants the fullness of God's manifested blessings flowing out of their lives.
Amen.
I've been in church for well over 10, 15 years, and I haven't met anybody yet that doesn't want God's blessings. Most everybody wants the blessings of God versus what they have. Am I right about that?
Amen.
And so you cannot, God cannot give them to you, listen to me closely, unless you're obedient.
Amen.
When you're walking the path of obedience, your heart will display an outward appearance that you're walking in the whole counsel of God. Pastor, what's the whole counsel of God? It's His word from Genesis to Revelation. We have people in the church, I hope y'all are hearing my heart, that have in fact acknowledged Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They have made the connection to strive to live for Him. But their heart is not fully submitted to the whole counsel of God. When your heart is submitted to the whole counsel of God, your life is a representation of that. There has to be a total willingness in your heart to get the things that God requires of His word to walk in Him. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah chapter number 1. I want to make a connection. Say, make the connection. Give me a little more volume, please, LeVar. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Everybody got it? If you be willing, if you be willing, in other words, church, if your heart be willing and what? Obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Amen. Amen.
I want this church to understand my heart's desire is for you to be able to eat the good of the land.
Amen.
Do y'all hear that this morning? I don't want you broke. I don't want you in lack. I don't want you struggling. I don't want you living life that you wish sometimes you get up and wish that you wasn't even here.
Come on.
Am I preaching to anybody in here this morning? I want you living a life where your lifestyle reflects you eating the good of the land.
Amen. Amen.
So I don't preach like this to you because I hate you or I'm mad at you. If I hated you or I didn't love you, I'd be preaching something to your flesh that would have you jumping over the seats.
Come on now.
But I love you enough to tell you the truth.
That's right. Amen.
Because I want you to have the best that God can give you.
Yes.
If you don't have the best that God can give, it's evident, church. Hear my heart this morning.
Amen.
That there's parts in your heart that are not submitted to the whole counsel of God. Amen. Let me give you some examples. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. We're going to be flipping a couple of scriptures this morning, but that's good. Y'all don't mind, do y'all?
Amen.
Good. That's why I asked you to bring your Bibles.
Amen.
Because I'm not preaching out of Jet Magazine or Ebony. Preaching out of the Word of God. I preach everything and teach everything so that you can find it in the Word. Did I say Matthew 16 or Matthew 6? I should have said Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 19. I want you to highlight this in your Bible. It's okay to do that. I saw a sign on a billboard that says, if your Bible's torn up, your life isn't. Half of y'all missed that. If your Bible is torn up, then your life isn't. It's all right to mark in this Bible. It's all right to write in it. That's what it's there for. So I'm asking you to mark this. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon the earth where the moth does corrupt and where the thieves break through and steal. Watch this. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither the moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what are some examples, Pastor, of areas in my life that are not fully submitted to the counsel of God? Tithing. Tithing is a heart issue.
Yes, that's right.
It's not a church issue. It's a heart issue.
One
of the first examples that tests your obedience to God's word is by your willingness to tithe correctly and consistently because God asked you in Malachi to bring.
That's right. That's right.
He asked you that.
Amen.
He said, bring me what belongs to me because it's not yours.
That's right. Amen.
I have sanctified that and set it apart and called it holy so that the priests can have meat in the house to fulfill the work of the kingdom.
Amen.
And so every pay period, church, God tests your obedience to His word.
Amen.
Every time you receive increase, God is testing you. And God, and you don't hear Him. But He's saying, is she going to obey my word? Is she going to walk in obedience? Is he going to obey my word? Is he going to walk in obedience? Jesus called these heart issues.
Amen.
Because if your treasures are upon things of the earth that are going to rust and fade away, then you're just wasting your time.
Amen.
You're spending God's increase that He has set aside and sanctified as holy on something that's going to fade away.
Amen.
When you die, you can't take your house with you.
That's right.
When you die, you can't take your car with you.
Amen.
When you die, you can't take your clothes, no matter how expensive you are. Nothing you bought in this world and nothing you'll take out of it.
Amen.
And so God says, let me get a hold of your money, because if I got a hold of your money, I got a hold of your heart. And whatever else I ask of you, if you release your money that I ask you to release for the purpose that it's intended, then whatever else I ask you, I know you'll do it.
Amen.
Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
God wants you to invest your money, I'm talking about your tithe and offering, in things that are eternal. Many of us in here today that are listening to me and that will hear this by audio are too busy buying things that are going to fade away. And the majority of your finances are not going to fund the kingdom or the things of God. I challenge you today, when you leave here, maybe you're doing it now, take a look at your checkbook. Take a look at your next bank statement. And see the money that God blessed you with and see where the majority of it went. Did the majority go to things, church, that are going to fade away? Are y'all listening in here today?
Amen.
Or did the majority of it go towards things that are eternal and that are going to make a difference on the other side of here? Because we're just passing through this place.
Amen.
We got a home in glory where the streets are paved with gold, where there's no sickness, where there's no disease, where our treasures are laid up with gold that will not rust and will not fade away. And we're worried about little 24-karat diamonds and jewels and bracelets and cufflinks and socks and nice suits. Stuff that's going to fade away anyway. Where's the majority of it going? It's a heart issue, church. And if you're not willing, you have acknowledged God. Don't get me wrong. You've joined the church. You've accepted Him into your heart. But there's areas in your life that still are not fully submitted to the whole counsel of God. And if you are not willing nor obedient, the Bible says you cannot eat the good of the land.
Amen.
I want this church eating the good of the land.
Amen.
Commitment. Romans 13. Am I doing all right?
Yes.
This is a fire breathe message.
Amen.
This is straight from the kingdom, from the throne of God.
Amen.
Let's look at Romans 13, 11 through 14. Look at this. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation, is our salvation nearer than when we believe. For the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light.
Uh-huh.
Let us walk. He's talking about down this path, church. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Commitment. How much of your time? You know, time is a gift from God. It's a gift that God gives to every person.
Yes.
And God says when you're committed and you're submitted and your heart is willing to submit to the whole counsel, you become committed to me. And in that commitment, you do what? You invest that time back in the kingdom.
Yes.
I invite you to look at your time. How much time did you spend this week wrapped up in things that were in the kingdom of darkness? How much time did we spend this week wrapped up in things that deal with the kingdom of God? I believe, church. I taught you on the great throne, or I've taught you on the judgment of the saints. But I believe when we stand before God, we're going to have to account for all the time we spent idle. And it will blow your mind how much time you think you've invested versus how much time you have invested.
Amen.
It's a heart issue. You have to be committed to the things of God. I'm telling y'all, church, the ministry that God gave us is for others.
Amen.
It's not about ourselves. Only reason we're not doing full-time ministry right now is because I don't have the resources or I don't have the people.
Amen.
You best believe that if I had the people and the resources, we would have our transition home up and established.
Yes.
For men that are coming out of jail, that have no place to go, that need to get retrained and retransmitted into society so that they can become productive citizens.
Yes.
We would have our women's ministry, Sarah's House, up and established. That will be totally free.
Yes.
A 120-day program for people to get in that's totally free, that's funded by resources, excess in the kingdom because y'all are eating the good of the land. We would be feeding the hungry 7 days a week. We would take the responsibility. Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
We would take the responsibility back from social services.
Yes.
And put it back on the church.
Yes.
We'd be taking care of the widows.
Yes, Father.
We'd be building homes in other countries and in other nations that are less fortunate than us.
Amen.
You know what that requires from you? Time.
Amen.
And commitment. And so God tests it. Oh, God, I hope y'all hear me. He tests it at this level.
Yes.
Can you handle this small area of ministry here?
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly if you can't handle this, how can I entrust you with greater things?
Amen.
Where's our time going, church? I've dedicated my whole life to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
When God laid his hands on me, I gave God everything. There's not a check I won't write.
Amen.
I'm believing God that within the next 90 days, I'm going to sow the biggest tithe that I've ever sown.
Amen.
That's well over $5,000. That's the tithe. That's what I'm asking God for. Why? Because I want to see this church be able to have substance and excess so we can do things when people call that phone that y'all don't know about. That need food and need clothes and are strung out on crack cocaine. Not saying we'll help everybody. So we can send a team of people to Louisiana and Mississippi.
Yes.
We can fill up a truck and take food and take water and resources and pour into the kingdom.
Yes.
That stuff ain't going to fade away, church.
Amen.
Y'all hearing the heart of the shepherd this morning? We can go to other countries. We can educate little boys and girls that are orphans because their parents have been killed for the cause of the gospel.
My God.
But we can go over there and build up homes and churches and educate them so that they can be productive citizens. I'm talking about a heart commitment, church.
Yes.
I'm not just talking about coming here week after week and putting your name on the roll and sitting on a pew and listening to praise and worship. I'm not talking about that. That's all a part of it, but that's not what God's called us to do. We enter in here to worship. We leave to serve.
That's right.
We just come here week after week to hear from God, to give us strength on what we have to do throughout the week. That's the whole purpose of coming here. We don't come here to serve, although you do serve while you're here if you're operating in ministry, but when you come here, you're not serving if you're sitting in the pew. You know what God calls it? Reasonable service.
Yeah.
So I don't want y'all to think you're doing God a favor because you're here. Because God, the way God sees it is that's the least you could do. I hung on the cross. I bled and I died while you cussed at me, lied and was deceitful and was trying to screw everything with legs and couldn't care whether or not there was a God. I hung, bled, and died. The least you can do is come hear my voice. Oh, God. Couple times a week, and we made it so convenient. We're not in here for 5 hours. We're in here for 30 minutes in an air-conditioned room with carpet.
Thank you, Lord.
Some of us can't do that faithfully and consistently. Do y'all hear a heart of a shepherd this morning? Do you hear the heart of God that's coming out of my spirit? We got to kick it up. Tell your neighbor, we got to kick it up a notch, baby. We got to kick it up. Church, we got souls to reach.
Yes.
Ministries to build.
Yes.
The Bible says the hour is at hand and Jesus is soon to come.
Yes.
That's why I said we got to wake up from sleeping.
Yes.
Stop tripping and thinking that we're just okay with God. Because the reality of it is, you can sit here all day and say, I'm all right with God. But if your life is not submitted to this, I beg to differ. You are not all right with God. You're fooling yourself and you're walking down a path that will eventually lead to destruction. Don't hear the words of Jesus that nobody wants to hear. Depart from me. I never knew you, ye worker of iniquity. And they turn around and they said, Jesus, you must be tripping. Stop the presses. I prophesied in your name. I gave in your name. I did everything that you required. He said, depart from me. I never knew you because your heart was not fully submitted to the counsel of God. Number three, influence. Let's go to Hebrews 13 and 7 and we'll close with that. Hebrews 13 and 7. Bible says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, which means lifestyle. The final path, church, is influence. God is a man of influence.
Yes.
And he's called all of us to be the same as him. Listen to me closely. When you're walking down the pathway of influence, people will follow you.
Yes.
Ask your neighbor, who's following you? Who's following you? If you consider yourself a Christian, your influence will cause others to want to follow you because you live a lifestyle that represents purity, holiness, and the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And so the Bible teaches us here in the scripture to remember them that have the rule over you who have spoken unto you the word of God. What better person to follow than your pastor? I said, what better person to follow than your pastor?
Yes,
now, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. When I start getting out of the word, then you don't need to follow me no more.
Right.
I start leading you into places that you know ain't lining up with the word of God and it's just crazy and I got you doing crazy things and crazy stuff. That's when it's your time to leave the church.
Amen.
But if my faith have gone before me and set the example, the Bible say that number one, it's a memorial because I've spoken the word over you and you ought to follow my faith.
Amen.
Over the years, my lifestyle has been proven. Listen to me closely. Although I'm a young man.
Amen.
With a nice trimmed beard and mustache. Thank you, Mr. Hunter. Although I'm a young man, I've dedicated my entire life to God.
Amen.
Because everything I have, everything that I can do, every resource that I can get my hands on belongs to Him.
Yes.
I've been tested. I've been tried. I've been talked about. I've been lied on. I've been disrespected. I've been ignored. I've been persecuted. But I've taught y'all the ways of God in these short 6 months, and I have not departed from the faith.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Are y'all hearing me?
Amen.
I told God many years ago, riding in the car to physical training to Fort Stewart, Georgia, that I wanted Him to use me at a young age. And God's fulfilling that prophecy now.
Yes. Thank you, God.
I'm younger than many of you in here. But in the kingdom, age don't matter. God can raise up a 15-year-old and anoint him to prophesy and preach. And if his faith proves that, then you ought to follow that.
Amen.
God can raise up a 75-year-old man. Age doesn't matter to God.
That's
what
right.
matters is the heart.
That's right.
Am I doing all right?
Yes. Yes.
If I can set this example, church, that has been proven, and I'm not talking about by lip service.
Amen.
Because you have a lot of people in the church that are in pews that got a lot of lip service.
Yes.
Like First Lady was saying, I'm connected, I'm this, I'm in the Word, I'm doing that. That's lip service. Because when the storms of life and the trials of life and the forces of darkness come knocking at your door to test your testimony, you know that song we sang, For God I Live, For God I... Don't look at me funny. Lord, I'll go with you anywhere. Lord, I'm with you always. We say things and we sing things and we talk cute, catchy phrases that we've heard. But it ain't been proven because you haven't experienced what that means.
Right.
And it's not until you experience what that means and walk through it that you're qualified to lead somebody.
That's right.
Am I doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you, Lord.
Doesn't mean that I'm perfect. And void of mistakes. But it does mean that I've been proven. And you should follow my faith.
Amen.
That's what I'm asking of this church. And those that are listening to this by audio. That you follow the faith of your pastor.
Amen.
I'm facing things right now that y'all don't even know I'm dealing with. I'm facing stuff my wife don't even know I'm dealing with. Not that we have secrets. But some things it's not the timing to share until I've got a solution from God on how to handle it. Do you hear me in here today? So until I get the solution, I keep walking. I keep confessing. You ought to follow that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Pastor, my marriage is upside down. Been there. Walked through it. My money is funny. Been there. Walked through it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to stay with this joker for the rest of my life. Been there. Walked through it.
Amen. Jesus. My Lord.
And it's been proven because I'm still here.
Amen.
And I'm still saying God is good. Even though the situation may not dictate that, I'm still confessing the word. I'm still lifting my hands whether or not I have a musician, whether or not I got a drummer, whether or not I got a keyboard player. Still worshiping as if we got a full band and a choir and a jam-packed church and a cathedral that seats 1,500. I'm still doing it.
Yes, yes.
Jesus said you ought to follow that church.
Yes.
Now what about you?
Amen.
Who's in remembrance of your life? Who can recall your faith?
My Lord.
Who in their spirit when they're going through and the tides are turning and the devil is testing, whose name can come up in their spirit and say, I remember when brother so-and-so went through that. And if God brought him through, I know he can bring me through. Who can recall your faith and diligence in times of trouble and rely and be encouraged in the midst of their calamities? I say to you emphatically in my closing that if you're walking down the path of influence, somebody is following your faith and considering the end of your conversation.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Somebody's still in church because you're here lifting your hands, praising God, and say, For God I live and for God I die. Somebody didn't give up the other week because they said, I saw that sister that sat over there in the back and kind of go crazy when the worship songs go off. Somebody's still going on and pressing forward because they see your faith.
Yes. Amen.
Bible says they ought to follow that.
Yes.
It's time for us to rise up, church. And be the people that God's calling us to be.
Amen.
And get on the path of righteousness instead of on the path that's leading to destruction.
Yes.
Because it won't be too long where you're going to have to make a decision.
Right.
Joshua said, choose you this day.
Right.
Who will you serve?
Mm.
Then he looked at the children of Israel. He said, those of y'all that's on God's side, get over here. The rest of y'all stay over there.
That's right.
You got to make a choice.
Amen.
For God I live, for God I die. And I'm not ashamed if don't nobody like it.
Come on.
And I'm not ashamed if I'm not a popular pastor, if I'm not going to the golf course, if I'm not getting invited to the mate. I don't care about that.
That's right.
Because that's not what this is about.
Amen.
Care about the soul of man.
Amen.
Seeing you walk into God's best.
Amen.
Come on and put your hands together for the Lord. What path are you walking on? What path are you walking on?